This is a production of Cornell University.
So it looks like we've got 20 participants right now. So I'm going to call this meeting to order. I'm going to ask that, Michelle, I know we've got some advice on how to do roll call, so I'll leave it up to Michelle to do the roll call. We have minutes that were uploaded to the box. Did anybody have any questions about it? Does anybody want to call to approve the minutes or call to question the minutes? They're all available. I believe Michelle provided a link in the email that allows you to go to the minute to the box and sort of view that. So there is a call for Michelle to approve the minutes. Do I have a second to approve the minutes?
I'll second it.
Brian seconds it. Is there any dissent to approve the minutes?
Is that both minutes or is that just the first one or the second one?
Let's do the first one. Okay. I do not see any dissent to approve the first one. Seeing no dissent, we're going to approve the first one. On to the second one. Do I have a motion to approve the second set of minutes?
Move to approve the October 7th minutes.
Okay, Brian has a motion to approve. Do I have a second? Okay, Rigel has raised his hands. Do I see any dissent to approve those minutes? Seeing no dissent, we are going to approve the second set of minutes. So both the sets of minutes are approved. We have business of the day. I wanted to very quickly from the top just kind of talk about the last EA meeting. I think we had a really great discussion on the resolution. I think in this format, we're all on Zoom trying to have a discussion. We have to really be mindful of using the raise your hand function. If you don't have the raise your hand function, please put it in the chat that you would like to be recognized to speak, and then I will call on you. I think it's really difficult to sort of navigate the conversation if we sort of go out of order. So I'm going to be more mindful of the participants tab. I think last time I was sort of going off the screens on top. So I have some work to do on my end. And then for the future, if we do bring a resolution to the floor, we have to, ensure that all the changes are incorporated. It is not usual for us to do live edits. So I think that is something that I definitely need to be on top of more so that we sort of ensure that the conversation moves forward and we make the most out of everyone's time since we do have a limited amount of time. So I do apologize for that. I think that we spent a lot of time last meeting on the resolution, but that was something I should have really nipped from the bud at the beginning. So my apologies for that. But I appreciate you all tuning back in. And so I want to start the business of the day according to the schedule, which is a president's address to staff debrief. As I had mentioned earlier, we had really great engagement. Ellen did an amazing job, getting the word out, getting the newsletter ready, getting social media done, CU events. So we had from I believe what Michelle has advised about 1,966 participants. We had employee assembly members like Brandon and Christy Mahoney submit questions that were read aloud. I think we had really great engagement from the staff population, and I think that the president herself addressed a lot of really great issues and really highlighted some of the work of the staff and really, I think, showed the gratitude that I think a lot of staff members deserve right now. So I think that the president's address to staff, based on the feedback that I had seen, was very positive. I want to speak to you on the employee assembly about, what are your thoughts and sort of have an open dialogue on the president's address to staff. So if you don't mind, let's open this up for discussion. Is there anything you think that we can improve for the president's address to staff? And, we will be planning staff forums. So how do we sort of use some of this information that we've gathered to kind of propel us forward? So Brian, I see that you've got your hand raised.
Yes, I do. I thought about it afterwards, and I actually got tapped into some of my peers and asked some questions on how they felt. There was a couple suggestions I made, and I was thinking of the next time, kind of like the forums that we do. where we ask questions beforehand. They can submit questions. There was a question about, are they allowed to do that? Can they do that for the president's address? So some people thought that'd be beneficial. The other thing is the questions that weren't answered, if they can get a response back from their questions, if we can seek them out and send back, capture them, and then send them back a response for their questions, so every one of them's answered, so they're not left saying, well, they didn't get to my question. I think that might be a good thing for us to do.
Brian, I think you bring up a lot of great points. I see Jessica has her hand raised, so I'm going to recognize Jessica.
So I simply wanted to say thank you, Hey Hey and Michelle and Ellen and Brian. I have gotten several, I personally felt like that was a really positive president's address, and just like the whole feeling was good. It was positive and helpful, and answers were useful and helpful. But I also had several constituents reach out and just say how they felt the same way, that it was very positive and the president really gave some great answers, and people just felt like they were very glad they tuned in. So I wanted to thank you all for what you would, for your work on it.
Thank you, Jessica. I think a lot of the credit goes to the executive team, you know, to Michelle. I think this idea of having a positive, uplifting message, that was from Michelle, you know, having, you know, the president speak on different topics, I think was really, really great. And so I really want to, you know, send appreciation to the executive team for all the work that was done. Laura Taylor, I want to recognize you. I see your hand is raised.
I thought it was really well done too. I just thought everybody did such a great job. So, you know, the questions that were answered and everything were great. But I do think it might be worth seeing if we can collect questions in advance and curating them a little bit. It doesn't mean we can't take questions on the floor, but I know that if people submit questions in advance, or if they're submitted through the, because we do this for our, presentations, you can collect the questions and then later answer them. And maybe we don't answer them as the EA, but we can make sure that they get answered and perhaps put on the university's FAQ, because the university has an FAQ related to coronavirus and university operations. It's a pretty extensive thing right now, and some of those answers might already be there on that FAQ, but it would give us an opportunity to see if there's anything that's not answered that people are curious about that could be added to the university FAQ.
Thank you, Laura. I think this goes hand in hand with, you know, what Brian has said. Historically, what we have done is we've provided a transcript with all the questions that were answered in the live Q&A. So then there are questions that perhaps were submitted, through the Q&A function. And it sounds like Brian's idea is to ask that those are answered. Historically, those sorts of requests have been asked, so they are really good requests, but I'm going to find the feedback from Mary Opperman, and then I'll share it with you in regards to why, questions that were submitted that weren't answered live, why they're not historically answered post event. So let me find that, because I don't want to misquote anybody, and then I'll share it broadly. Joe, I see your hand is raised.
Michelle is the talk of the town. How she led with the most powerful question about your boss lying to you. It made for a brave and honest conversation. So everyone is really singing your praises for how you facilitated and managed the questions. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Sorry. So I'm going to recognize Michelle. She does not have her hand raised. I see she wants to speak.
Sorry about that. I don't have the ability to raise my hand.
Exactly.
So I apologize in advance, but I'm very flattered. And It's tricky doing Q&As, and especially live Q&As, and especially with a lot of the questions coming in. And I foolishly thought that the Q&A was set up so that only the panelists would be able to see the questions. And I think that my feedback for that is in the future that it only be for panelists to see. I think that the anonymity question came up, and I think more questions would have come in if they could have been anonymous and only the panelists see the questions. I think a lot of people were like, don't use my name when you ask this question. And I'm like, Josh, everyone can see this, you know? So I think that, you know, the learning curve for Zoom and for everyone is like how things are set up and knowing how things are set up. But yeah, that first question, I was like, it really literally was one of the few questions that were there to begin with. So, I didn't know what to think about asking that first question. Yeah,
but you know what? I think it worked. And I think I don't think it put her off. But I think it put her in an honest place. And I think it was, everything else after that was well done. So kudos.
Thank you. And thank you to Maren. She was fantastic. So.
Agreed. Just again, please use the either raise your hand in the participants box or physically raise your hand, and I will try to get to you so that we sort of don't speak out of order. I see that Gina has her hand raised, so I'm going to recognize Gina.
Thank you. Just briefly on the question of anonymity, if this were an in-person address, we would know who you were. There really is no accommodation for somebody submitting a question to the president in a live event if we were all in person. So that's just something to keep in mind.
So, I mean, if we have, so right now the president's address happens once a year. I don't know what the format's going to be moving forward. If we're going to continue doing it online, it almost feels like we would get more engagement with it being online, but that is, I think, something to sort of work on moving forward. Brandon, I see your hand raised.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, one thing we could consider is it would kind of address both of those things is the collection of questions in advance, because with those forms, you have the ability to say if you would like to be noted. So there have been those forms before where you can submit a question and it asks if you would like to remain anonymous. So that's one way in which you could provide that opportunity for folks if we did collect questions in advance. So, and I have been, apparently I'm going to rack up quite a dairy bar tab after my comment, because everyone talking to me is like, well, what do I mean? Do I get ice cream on you as well?
Starting here. Take care of home first.
Yeah. And I just want to also just to say my appreciation to for the nominations that got read out, you know, and the CLAS team sent a huge thank you and appreciation for that being read out loud. You know, I think that there was a lot to acknowledge people for, as was noted. And I think those three organizations were so huge a part of us as a university being able to be successful and having students here on campus and mitigating the financial impacts, which is why I asked the question, do we get our benefits back? Because we've done so much freaking work to mitigate the financial impact. When will that be a reassessed to determine if some portion of our benefits can come back? So.
Thank you, Brandon. And for anybody who didn't tune in for the president's address to staff, it sounded like the president was going to assess the financial situation around now. And it sounded like we're in a better financial shape. So it seems likely that we're going to see some adjustments to that. I see Kit, and I want to recognize Michelle afterwards. So Kit, you have the floor.
Okay. Let me know if you guys can't hear me. I have a fan blowing. But anyway, I echo everyone's sentiments so far. I guess a question that I have is, I remember in past somewhere when we were talking about the president's address to staff, it was framed as this is really the opportunity that President Pollack uses to talk to staff, I guess, or give an address to staff. And I'm almost wondering if that could be, if there's ever been discussion of having that be like more frequently, like once a semester, or three times a year, like fall, spring, and then the summer, quote unquote, semester. It does seem a bit removed, in my opinion, to have her only speak once a year, but just my thoughts.
Thank you, Kit. Michelle, you had your hand raised.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about how our discussions, you know, behind the scenes, sort of when it came to whether or not we would take questions in advance. And I think that we decided that we would let the president speak and then have questions based maybe off of her remarks, but also have, you know, sort of people submit their questions right then and there rather than advance. And so, and I think, you know, we talked about it with Mary Opperman as well. And Mary did like the idea that we would just take questions right then and there. And then, you know, we would, you know, quickly go through, and if there was some overlap in sort of the genre and stuff like that of the questions, that we would curate them, and that's how we would handle it. So, you know, I didn't want people to think that we didn't consider that, you know, that was definitely part of the discussion. And I think this year we tried it this way. And I think it worked very well. And I think that we can also maybe revisit the having questions in advance, especially if you get like curveball first question and no other ones, and you're sort of like, should I ask this right now? Or so anyway, so I just wanted to sort of address that we did think about that. So
thank you, Michelle. And as a person who did moderate those staff forums, it's so difficult to sort of suss out questions that are, you know, good, appropriate, you know, reflective of the majority. So it's not an easy task. So I really congratulate you and Maureen for a job well done. I want to recognize Kate, and then I see Kit's hand is raised. So I'm not sure if that was from before, but Kate, you have the floor.
Thanks. Yeah, this is pertains to the questions and having the Q&A visible. We've done in community relations, I think something like 25 public forums since May. And we have settled on what I think Michelle was talking about, of having the Q&A only visible to the people behind the webinar curtain. And that does give people who are not behind the curtain, it gives greater anonymity, and it also gives you the ability to screen questions, because in some cases our meetings have been very large and very public, and there have definitely been some questions that we didn't want everyone seeing. So it also helps to give greater security to the event. I don't think that was necessarily an issue for this one, but it does mean that the not everyone is seeing who's asking what, and it also gives the folks who are moderating the questions the ability to pick and choose. So that's my two cents. I think it works well to not have everyone see the questions, but I know there are a variety of opinions and a variety of settings. You can also do it that once the question is answered, you can have a thing where it goes back and everyone can see it. But that's for next year.
Thank you, Kate. I want to revisit something that somebody mentioned, I believe it was Kit, perhaps having more of these sort of president's address to staff. I think what we did, the president's address to staff, it being annual, from the feedback, it sounded like it was very helpful. I mean, myself, I learned quite a bit from the president. You know, she mentioned the extra day off. She mentioned, you know, the return of the salaries and the benefits. And it was just a great opportunity to engage with her. And I think that the banter really kind of showed some of her personality, and that was really great. So it sounds like Kit mentioned that. I don't know if anybody else has thoughts on it. I know that on the executive team, we are working on additional staff forums. Those are not necessarily like the president's address to staff, but the format is similar. We have, you know, somebody present, somebody from senior leadership talking about a subject, and then we take open questions. So we hope perhaps to have one with Cornell Health to kind of talk about where we are in terms of the pandemic. And so it seems very relevant, but perhaps, you know, there's more support of additional, you know, of these sort of president's addresses. So Brandon, I see your hand is raised, and I think Kate, your hand is raised as well, but I'm not sure if that was before. So Brandon, I'm gonna give you the floor.
Thank you. Hey. Just a couple of thoughts as far as that. I think that the staff forums have been an incredible resource, and I think we should consider adding these as a typical agenda, not just in a pandemic, that we look to provide these sort of forums available. You know, obviously I don't expect the president to do five of these a year, but I love that we can rotate through the different leaders in our organization, and they don't have to be just VPs. You know, they can be different leaders in different areas, whether that's, you know, from benefits perspective, education perspective, you know, the different committees could work potentially at doing different forums for each of the committees. I think would be really great. And one thing I think might be, if we do go that route, would be to consider, you know, we aren't all on the webinars, but an opportunity at one of those forums for all of us to introduce ourselves, because it's so often very challenging for us to let everyone know who we are and who we represent. So I think it'd be really great for us to have that opportunity at one of the forums. You know, again, maybe if we do it several times throughout the year, not every one-on-one, because that, you know, 30 introductions can take a while, but some way in which we can kind of make that available to folks and known. So just some thoughts.
Brendan, I think you bring up a great point about, you know, representation, about how we sort of, you know, make ourselves known to our constituents. I think that's a great idea to feature, you know, more employee assembly members. I'm really glad that, you know, on the president's address to staff, Brian got to present, Rin, Michelle, we had questions from EA members. So we were definitely integrated, but to sort of formalize it and maybe feature them a little bit more, I think that's a good idea. I want to just add that the chat functionality, please don't use it to make motions or vote, because then it won't be on record. So you can use it to share resources, informal chats, that's fine. But if you wanted to make a motion or vote, please raise your hand so we can sort of, you know, see it and it's on record. So I see Jessica Townley's hand is raised, so I want to give her the floor.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I got a lot of feedback from Geneva folks that they much preferred the Zoom option compared to the live stream. We had a lot of people who could hardly hear anything during the live streams, and the loudness of the whole crowd kind of took over. So everybody really appreciated the Zoom platform, which we always have to, you know, we either have to do the live stream or the Zoom. So I just wanted to share that feedback, because it definitely was, everybody was able to hear everything clearly, and it was just a better experience.
So. Thank you for that, Jessica. I feel like, you know, we on the Ithaca campus, you know, we are attending these physically in person normally. And so I don't think we have that perspective from somebody, you know, on the other end trying to watch a live stream, and maybe there are technical difficulties that they have. So I think that's really great feedback, and something that we'll you know, consider and write down as we sort of do our own debrief, I think, on the executive team on what went well, what we can improve. And I think that's part of, you know, the positives that, you know, the visual, the audio clarity for people, you know, remote, now that we're all sort of remote, it is better, has improved in this new format. Kit, I see your hand is raised, so you have the floor.
I want to go off of what Jessica just said. Even compared to attending these in person, I prefer the Zoom versions of these. You know, I think it's different watching Martha Pollack speak in an auditorium versus right in my face, and I do feel more closely connected having senior leadership, for example, right there on my computer screen looking like they're talking to me, and I can hear better. I love, you know, the captioning option is great too. Plus, you know, of course, not having to travel to that meeting or whatever. I definitely prefer that option even to in person.
Thank you, Kit. Is there anybody else that wants to be recognized to talk about the president's address to staff? It sounds like there are quite a few takeaways from this, and I will share past correspondences in regards to posting answers to questions that were not addressed in the address, and then any. We'll continue discussions on, pre-selected questions. Perhaps we could prepare some questions ahead of time, maybe EA members only, that we sort of feed into the chat to get the conversation going, to sort of figure out what that direction would look like. So there's some takeaways for the executive team. Let's move on to the next business of the day, which is priorities poll. So for those of you who were here last year, the priorities poll is a poll that we set up on the employee assembly, kind of asking staff members, what do you think should be the priority for the employee assembly? What should we be working on? Provide us with your feedback. This is really one of the rare opportunities for us to get consensus on issues, to say, you know, within these committees, this is what we're working on, and it's based on data. Like, we've got 50 people from here talking about this one specific issue. We've got some consensus. Here's the feedback on it, to really use data to drive some of the work that we do and get a better sense of what staff are thinking broadly across campus. So this, I think, priorities poll, we received, I think, a little over like 960 responses from staff members indicating what their priority was for the last fiscal year. So this year, I think it'll be a little different. Last year, I think diversity and I think traffic were, transportation were like the two main issues. So I think as we sort of modify the priorities poll, I think we need to think about what different kind of priorities we might have. And so that is something that we're working on. There is a link within the email that went out to employee assembly members, providing us with, you know, the data from last year, the draft, the actual report. So we did write a full report on our findings that we shared with Martha and with Mary Offerman. So that's all available for you to kind of review. But we will be working on the priorities poll for this year. And we're hoping to sort of time that before our retreat so we can use a good portion of the retreat to kind of go over the priorities poll and get a sense of, you know, what the consensus is across campus. So I'm hoping to see increased engagement. I think through the president's address to staff, through the staff forums that we've had in the past, we've created a little bit more attention for the employee assembly. And so I'm hoping that the priorities poll will see more feedback as we sort of get ourselves out there a little bit more and communicate more with the staff. Does anybody have any questions about the priorities poll or any sort of feedback that you'd want to share? Ellen, your hand is raised.
Yes, sorry. I just wanted to pass it over to Kate Supron if she has anything to add. Kate and Michelle are kind of spearheading the revamp of the poll for this year based off of last year's survey. So I just wanted to see if Kate had anything else to add to that.
Sure. I don't think we need to. Michelle and I met just this morning to go over last year's poll with the edits that I had put in, and I believe the 2020 draft is saved in Box, so folks can look at that. My thought was, in looking over it, that we can mostly use the same format. I don't think we have additional priorities that we need to list, but if folks think we do, it would be important for you to look at the list and see if you think the actual list should change. We updated a few items, adding newsletters, e-newsletters, because we have our monthly EA newsletter and we have the faculty and staff newsletter that goes out weekly as a way people receive news. We clarified what the sustainability, because in the Q&A yesterday in President Pollack's address, sustainability was meaning how do we sustain this effort that we're all underway. So sustainability on our list meant specifically related to our facilities and the environment. So we clarified that. And we also put in some language clarifying the request for identifying information from folks to be part of to be eligible for a gift card. So we can talk about that with the executive committee, but it's in their inbox. And, you know, give us some, if you have thoughts that the priorities themselves the list of priority options have changed, sing out and let me know, because we'll be finalizing it in the next little bit.
Thank you, Kate. And just so everybody knows, the priorities were parking and transportation, employee health and well-being, benefits, employee education and professional development, campus climate, diversity, inclusion, respect, employee recognition, sustainability, and then you can sort of fill in, you know, whatever you think the priority is. So I want to recognize Ellen and then Christy. So Ellen, you have the floor.
Could I say one more thing, Hey, on the modification to the list?
Okay.
We did modify, we put in a couple of edits so that it said benefits and policy, since we have the committee that addresses both benefits and policy, and that seemed a little bit broader, and perhaps folks would have some policy concerns in addition to benefits. And with sustainability, as I mentioned, I put in environment and facilities so that it was clearer what type of sustainability we were talking about.
All right, thank you, Kate. Alan?
I just wanted to clarify the timeline as well for the priorities poll, that we are planning the next EA Voice newsletter to go out on November 16th. And that's when we will introduce the poll to the community and ask for the employee body to respond on the poll.
Thank you, Ellen. Christy?
Hi, thank you guys for working on this. I haven't checked the box folder, but a discussion that Carrie and I had last year after the poll was, in Qualtrics, there's an opportunity to cycle the order of the priorities. I think it's really important that we do that. I'd be happy to chat about that at another time. But if we put transportation at top, transportation is always an issue. So maybe if we cycle it, people will have an opportunity to read something else first and be influenced by that order.
Thank you. I see Andrea, and then Michelle has her hand raised. So Andrea, you have the floor.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Kate and Michelle for jumping in on this so quickly. We just talked about it at the last communications committee. So thank you for taking the time to jump on it, and because I think it's timely. Things have changed so much from the last time that we asked this. Everything has changed. So I think revamping this is really important. So thank you guys for jumping in.
Thank you, Andrea. Are there any other comments on the priorities poll? I don't see any hands raised. So I'm going to move on to, Michelle, is your hand raised or you? Okay,
yep,
Michelle.
I had my hand raised.
Thank you.
You did say that I could go after Andrea, but so for the priorities poll, and I almost seem like I forgot my question because it just went, it might have been related to Christine's comment about cycling the priorities and the influence of the order. Is that something that is, you feel like the way that they're listed, or do we want to change maybe where we rank them in the priorities poll, or you just want to cycle them, like put benefits and policy and then something like that?
There's a simple checkbox in the Qualtrics programming where you can say that you want to cycle or randomize the order of the selections in this question. And each time someone goes in, they'll be in a different order.
Okay.
It's just a way to ensure that your tool isn't influencing the outcome of the question.
So I might see transportation first, and then the next person might see, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so I want to recognize Kate, who has her hand raised.
Thank you. Am I muted? No, I'm not even muted. So I thought it was an interesting point because I should have noticed that it was select the top priority. Would we want to change it, or is it possible to change it in Qualtrics so that people can do, this is my number one, this is my number two, this is my number three? It's kind of limiting to be able to just say one, say your top priority. And I'm kind of interested in people's top two or three priorities because but maybe that gets too messy.
Michelle's hand is raised.
Just to follow up on that, Maren put in she says Qualtrics has a randomization option that's automatic. So, so would we want to just randomize and have people select their top priority, or would we want to have people rank their priorities? And then if they have others, to add that as well. What are folks thinking? And then my other question is, who is the expert Qualtrics person in the EA that
I think Kate and I are learning that we may not be as proficient as maybe we thought we were. Oh, so
I had no pretense of proficiency, I'll say. I did.
Okay,
working in Adobe, at which I am also not proficient, but I'm not
so proficient. I want to respect everybody who has their hands raised. So I'm going to call on Brian, then Marin, then Jessica. So Brian, you have the floor. You're on mute. Brian, you're still on mute.
I'm on mute. Sorry. You know, I noticed that yesterday too, that when they start the forum or whatever, they automatically mute everybody because I had it off mute and all of a sudden I was muted. So anyway, so I like what Michelle said. I would love it if we could rank them. If we could rank them one through whatever it is, eight or whatever, and then have another option, that'd be awesome. I don't know if that's possible, but that would be great. And also the randomization of that, you can funnel them around which one comes on top, but you can still rank them. And that might give us that first, second, third, what are the priorities in line. I like that thought.
Thank you. Marin?
I just wanted to shout out that I think it is safe for us to assume Qualtrics has a lot of capabilities. I am not a Qualtrics guru, but I will just say that from what I've used it, it's absolutely possible to rank them. The data is not horrible to look at when it comes out, when it's exported, and I believe you can still randomize the order of options as they appear within a ranked question. For the purposes of this discussion, we can probably assume Qualtrics can do what it is we will ask it to do. We just need to make sure we ask somebody here who knows how to make that happen.
Thank you, Marin. Jessica?
Yes, I was going to say, I really like the idea of ranking options. In my memory, which is not great today, our results last year, a lot of respondents said they didn't like having to choose just one. There were like multiple things that were priorities and they all tied in together, so I think ranking would be great.
Thank you, Jessica. Your memory is correct. There definitely was some feedback that indicated this is my priority, but this also is important to me. So I think having a ranking system for this upcoming Qualtrics is a really good idea. Do we have any other thoughts or comments on the priorities poll? I'm just checking around for some hands or some blue hands. So seeing none, it sounds like if you have any follow-up questions or concerns or anything, feel free to work with Kate and also Michelle on this. But I'm looking forward to seeing what this looks like. I think there are a lot of great ideas circulating around how to improve it. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how that goes. So moving on to committee reports, I'm going to start with the executive committee. So Michelle.
This will be real short because our executive committee meeting was on the 15th and we discussed the president's address to staff. We discussed the newsletter, which I will let communications update us on that, priorities poll. And we did discuss incentivizing the priority poll as well, and then the recognition portal for the EA Appreciation Award. And I know that Jamie was planning to reach out to Ashley Miller for some questions that we had on that portal. So maybe we can get an update from Ashley or Jamie if we have the questions that we were posing answered. And I believe that is about it for the exec committee.
Great. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, we're going to move on to the communications and award committee.
Hi, everyone. We did some communications. It happened. We communicated. We got the word out for the president's address. I think it was a pretty good turnout. Hopefully some of the stuff that we did contributed to that. We tried to get it visible on all of the Cornell platforms. So that hopefully was a success. I think it was. We had our first EA Voice newsletter of the term go out on Monday. And I hope everyone had a chance to take a look at it, read it. If you have any feedback or suggestions for future issues, please let us know. the next EA Voice newsletter is scheduled to go out on November 16th. We will be highlighting the priorities poll. I'll be doing a highlight on the appreciation award winners and also a highlight of all of the nominees. We are discussing possible spotlight on the welfare committee with Christine. I'm going to touch base with her on that a little more later this week. And if there's any other things that are coming up in the next month that we want to put in, let me know. Let us know. We have our next meeting of the communications committee scheduled for October 27th. At 2 p.m. Everyone is invited. The link is on the EA website. It is also, or no, maybe the link is not on the EA website. Just kidding. The link is in my computer. If anyone wants to go, I guess, let me know. I'll get that up on the EA website very soon. What else have we been talking about? I think that's it. Like the president's address was a big one for us. So like check done. I'm glad to cross that off the list for now. And moving forward with the priorities poll and the next newsletter. And if there's anything else, just let us know.
Thank you. Any questions, comments? Seeing no hands raised, we're gonna move on. So we did have an update about the education committee in that we do need a chair for the education committee. So I haven't heard back. So if anybody has some bandwidth and would like to chair that committee, please step up to do so. Laura Taylor, I see your hand is raised. I wanna give you the floor.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. We've had a proposed rule from Homeland Security, two interim final rules, and several different executive actions that are all impacting the international community. I'm also participating in assisting in writing a lot of the university's complaint and a lawsuit that was filed in federal court on Monday, and I just don't have the bandwidth I can serve on a committee, but I can't lead a committee. It looks like things for our international community are going to get worse before they get better in the next couple of months. Even just during this meeting, I saw something new that was posted by Homeland Security sort of threatening schools and school officials. So I did set up a meeting of the education committee. I also don't have the link on the website yet. It's Friday at 1 p.m. and I can make sure that that does get up on the website. I'm not sure I know how to do that. I think I have access to editing the website still, but maybe Wendy, I could connect with you about, or somebody, Jamie, about how to get a meeting up. But beyond that meeting, I won't be able to chair. So I'm hoping that somebody that is currently serving on that committee will be able to step up. And I'm looking right at you, Jackie, there, at least your image that's showing, because I know you've spoken up a few times around issues related to education. And so I thought perhaps you might have interest. Or perhaps somebody else. So,
Jackie, I want to recognize you. Do you have any interest in chairing the education committee?
Interest, yes. Bandwidth, no. So, thank you.
All right.
Continue
this discussion. I will try to join this Friday's meeting, and then we'll continue and see what we can do. So, are there any questions or comments on the committee? Seeing none, we're going to move on to the welfare committee.
Hello. So we have a meeting before this meeting every other week. Well attended, very energetic discussion. It's very happy about it. We have two working groups. One is focused on work from home ergonomics and workplace accommodations. A second one is on safe spaces. Those conversations are both happening with their partners in HR or the CNG we've had a lot of conversation around the work-life programming and how we can partner to echo, emphasize, broaden the reach of that. Thank you, Ellen, for agreeing to come to our next meeting. We'll be discussing it there. A lot around having staff understand that it's okay to not be okay, and whether that's with their physical workspace at their work from home, or their health and welfare, or their mental health, or their work-life balance, that that we can be an avenue for them to reach resources or leverage the existing and just be able to see the resources. We have had conversations today a lot around the next 3 to 4 weeks and the election and what we can do to make sure staff are aware of the resources that Cornell is offering around that. And then today we had a bit of a discussion around is there an opportunity presented to us right now to reach retirees who may feel isolated, reach students over the holidays who aren't able to travel and go home, or reach other staff who are perhaps alone and at home and isolated. There are programs being proposed, pen pal programs. There are the regular programs that the university puts around sponsoring students over the holidays for meals and things. And just wondering if there's an opportunity for the EA to support and help in acknowledging and reinforcing those programs. I think that's all I can say. If anyone on the committee wants to offer an additional item, please do. Thank you. One other thing, we are looking at proposing, and we would bring it forward next meeting, a resolution acknowledging the efforts and thanking the student body for everything that they've done to create a successful half term, and what it's meant for all the work that the staff have put in, that the students, it was a recommendation from a non-EA committee member, and it was just a phenomenal conversation. And so I'm excited to have that develop and bring it back.
Thank you, Christy. I think that sounds like a really wonderful resolution, because without the student cooperation, without them really, you know, doing the social distancing, being responsible, it would be a completely different semester. So I'm really looking forward to how that pans out. Ashley, I saw that you had your hand raised. I want to recognize you.
Yeah, I just want to say that there's like a weekly, sometimes a bi-weekly retiree newsletter that goes out. And Christine, I can give you the contact for that. Yeah, it usually goes out weekly or bi-weekly, depending on the information that they have to share. So I just wanted to let you know about that.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions, feedback? All right, seeing none, we're going to move on to the Benefits and Policy Committee.
Hi. So we had a Benefits and Policy Committee meeting on the 13th, a short time ago. Planning one within the next couple of weeks. I haven't planned it yet. We talked about several different things. We've talked about vacation balances carried over, which they did do that, and they were carried over. And answering correspondences that we get from constituents related to that, if they choose to share and don't mind confidentiality, we can give them the response. But if they choose to do it in confidentiality, well, it's kind of hard to give responses. So we talked a little bit about that. We talked about other correspondences we got, $6.4 million going to students and not institutionalizing it. And after discussion, we kind of felt like, well, it is being institutionalized, it's just being funneled back by the students. So it is actually, it's just, it's like feeding the roots. And it's growing, and it's going to make its way. So the group felt there was no more need to go further with that. I needed one more additional EA member to fill a seat. And I would like to thank Lisa for doing that. So we are completely full now, and we actually have 4 non-voting members that are part of our committee as well. New business, one of the things we discussed was the committee meetings and the group committee meetings, explore the policies surrounding those committee meetings, and if staff are allowed to go, not allowed to go, that kind of thing. And there was a lot of discussion around that. Some of the committee believe that not all managers understand the value of shared governance and maybe education piece there. The committee decided to take a look at what peer institutions are doing, and we formed a committee out of the committee, and a couple people are looking into that, doing some research to bring back to us as a group so we can further evaluate that. If there's any need to do anything there, maybe reiterate from Marielle or maybe the president how much shared governance is important, and everyone should allow flexibility in their departments and their units if it's possible. So other than that, we're welcome for any new or additional comments or things about benefits and policies. Feel free to send them my way.
Thank you. Are there any questions, comments? Seeing none, let's move on to the elections committee. I don't see Nasser on here, but I did receive an email from him indicating that he was meeting with Jessica, and it sounds like he's moving forward and sort of working through issues. So moving on to new business, I'm really glad we've got 23 minutes right now for open discussion. Now is a really good time if you have anything you want to bring to the employee assembly as a whole to sort of discuss that. I want to very quickly mention, I know we have in the past talked about the campus code of conduct. Right now, Martha Pollack, Madeline Wessel, they are soliciting feedback from the broader community in regards to the campus code. This is something that's been in the works for several years. This has gone through the UA and the CJC, the Campus Judiciary Committee. And so I think they've sort of reached the end of the road here. They're waiting for feedback. I think we have until November 7th to provide the feedback. They really want specific, sort of recommendations for changes, nothing conceptual or large, ideas, really kind of just looking at ways in which, there are any sort of language edits that we would like to do to the proposed amendments to the campus code. I'm going to provide you with a link to share, to sort of review what the proposed amendments are. And let me know if you have any feedback. The university assembly has asked that the employee assembly kind of provide aggregated feedback. So if you have anything, feel free to send to me and then I'll aggregate it and present it at the UA. So this really all sort of feeds up into, President Pollack and Madeline Wessel. So let me know if you have any questions. I've just shared with you the link, and feel free to share that broadly within the community as well. And anybody can log in and then enter in their commentary. They can send it, through you to the EA as well. So that is sort of something I want to discuss very quickly. So now I'm going to open it up to employee assembly members. Is there anything you would like to discuss while we're all here together? Okay, Michelle, I see your hand is raised.
Yeah, I think I'd like to take this opportunity to discuss our schedule for meeting during the break. And I would have to get into Box to find out what our schedule is like if we're going to have a short hiatus. Does anybody have the Box schedule for our meetings? I guess I can look at the calendar. Hold on, let me just see. What I wanted to recommend is that we take this opportunity, if we don't have any pressing business, that we do a little self-care for everyone, and due to Zoom exhaustion, that we take advantage of it and try not to meet unless we absolutely have to. And I'm open for feedback and comments on that recommendation.
Brian, I see your hand is raised.
Yeah, so I do have it open, and the times we're meeting, November 18th, December 2nd, December 16th, and January 6th. Are those the dates you're referring to?
mostly December and the first part of January, because students are back on the 8th of February. So we do have a long pause, and I'm just curious what folks they're thinking about that.
Ellen, you have your hand raised.
Yes, I don't really consider the academic break employee break. I mean, we have the week off between Christmas and New Year's. I think we have a lot of business to cover, and we've been like making good progress on everything, and I wouldn't suggest that we skip any of those meetings. I think we have the you know, the week between Christmas and New Year's off, and if people have, you know, individual plans, they can take them, but I wouldn't suggest canceling any meetings, just my opinion.
Thank you, Ellen. Michelle?
I'm just, aside from committee updates, I'm curious what, in a resolution forthcoming from the welfare committee, what are we seeing on committee plates that warrants us to meet every Wednesday or every other Wednesday in December to January?
So Christy, I see your hand is raised physically.
Mm-hmm. I hear Michelle, and I want to recognize I see it's palpable exhaustion among the staff of Cornell at all levels. The welfare committee feels strongly that we need to be available from a wellness and mental health perspective. It is almost November, and I know we've been discussing a wellness forum since July, but we haven't offered the EA's support of any of the HR programming around wellness or the Cornell Health programming around wellness. And I would just advocate that even if we don't meet as an assembly, that we figure out a way to be an advocate for the wellness of the staff. A comment was made today that maybe we just start offering coffee hours or happy hours where staff can just join in a conversation that allows them to separate from work and be connected. I don't really have the solution, but I feel that the EA could be very valuable during the time. These are going to be really hard months, hard holidays from a personal perspective, each and every one of us, hard transition with the students. So I understand Michelle's point about meetings. And maybe we can have a balance between what Ellen's saying is our important work and really the need to meet.
Thank you, Christy. Brian, then Laura, then Kit. So Brian, you have the floor.
So I see the benefit in these committee meetings, also to bring resolutions and stuff. I also know that, so there might be a law for some, but there's not a law for many. My team, in particular, will be working right through this intercession and through the whole break time, because we're going to still have students on campus. We're still going to have work on campus, and there'll be a lot of people still working on campus. So, and I think that's beneficial to keep on going. I think that we have been a good place for people to bring things to and get answers taken care of, and I don't want them to feel like we've abandoned them, that's all.
Thank you, Brian. Laura?
I certainly like the idea of fewer meetings, but I think we might have an obligation to meet a certain number of times. I know at least in the education committee, I saw that there was a number of times that we are required to meet or expected to meet, so I didn't know if the whole assembly had any requirement like that. In terms of meetings, if we do have them, we could always end early if we, you know, if we don't have to fill up the whole time if we don't need to.
Thank you, Laura. You bring up a good point. Kit?
I'm going to kind of second what has been said, particularly from, I guess, Ellen and Brian and now Laura. I think it's important that we stay relevant. I don't think that the meeting has to be long, but sometimes I don't know at what point we start discussing, you know, if a topic, I would hate for a topic to be deemed non-essential, but and therefore not addressed in the most timely manner. My original proposal that I was thinking before other folks were sharing was to just have the meetings scheduled, and then if there was nothing going on, then we could cancel. But I think maybe even a shorter meeting would be the happy medium of that.
Thank you, Kit. That is true. I think we've gotten a lot of great feedback. Michelle, your hand is raised again.
You know, I guess my point is that, you know, we've been slogging through the summer. I mean, we haven't stopped. So I'm not saying that we stop, you know, meetings for a month. And I wasn't recommending that committees stopped meeting. What I was recommending is that we really examine how full our agenda is, and if there is an opportunity, and it sounds to me like people would be agreeable to, if we, you know, are done at a, you know, we don't have to go straight through to 1:30. I feel like that has always been the case, that we've always just pushed through to 1:30, and you know, I think that maybe we can, you know, take a look at. Is our agenda so full every other Wednesday that we have to use the entire time, stuff like that. So I think we're still relevant whether we are meeting every other Wednesday. I think we're still relevant. We're still available. The questions will still come in, you know, we'll still have our meetings and stuff like that. But I mean, it's just that I am hearing from a lot of people how burnt they are on Zoom. So that's all. I'm trying to be sensitive to everybody and just throw that out there. And I appreciate that everyone's feedback, and I think that there could be a good compromise out there for meeting our needs as well as the needs of our constituents.
Thank you. I think you bring up a good point. I mean, so right now it's 1:18. If there's nothing else to discuss, we could adjourn early. We would just need a motion and then pass that motion if there's nothing else to discuss. So Brian, you have your hand raised.
Well, with that said, I move to adjourn.
So I have a motion on the floor to adjourn, but I do want to recognize Laura, who has her hand up.
I just was going to make the same motion, so I...
So I'm going to take that as a second. is there any dissent to the motion to adjourn early at 1:18? Seeing none, then we can adjourn early. In the future, I think Michelle brings up a good point. If we are exhausted with Zoom, we should be cognizant of it, and feel free if you think we can to adjourn the meetings early, as we are doing now. So thank you all for joining, and thank you all for your engagement.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.